So there's 25k.
Yeah.
As quick as possible.
Yeah.
If you try and save, in my mind, 20% deposit, 50k, the market could have moved to 300 grand or 350. So.
You're listening to My Millennial Money. This is the podcast for anyone who stayed home from school and watched Judge Judy. The people are real. The cases are real. The financial advice, general. And now, over to Aaron, John, and Glenn.
Hi, Aaron and John. How are
Hi,
you?
Glenn.
Hi, Glenn. Hi, John.
Hi, Aaron.
So, this is probably the most random thing that's happened to us all week. But, John, you've actually invited a guest on the show today, who happens to be your employer. Who is that?
Look, I'll correct you on that, Glenn. We're actually equal in our life. It's my the most important part of my life. Life?
Her
it's
face.
My wife.
Wow.
Hi.
Hi. So we've got Amy to join us today.
Affectionately known as Ames.
Ames. Yes. Ames. Well, thanks for joining us today, Ames, and welcome to my house.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's our pleasure. But got something
for
Aaron. Yeah. No, well, we seem to start with me asking Aaron a question.
I've noticed John never gets asked a question.
It's a disclaimer.
Yeah. Well, the problem, okay,
sorry.
Everyone who's ever, so I think we're up to like 5 listeners now, and everyone has said how funny Aaron was.
Mm. Much to Glenn's disgust.
I know.
He wants to sack me.
Yeah. I'm like,
stealing his limelighters.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you bought me on for this reason,
exactly,
and you can't get upset when people jump on it.
That's right. Yeah. You're like the Hamish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, definitely. What did Andy ever bring?
Nothing. Does anyone listen to Hamish and Andy?
They're not on anymore.
Oh. Don't they do a podcast?
They got a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't listen to podcasts.
Yeah. Except this one.
Just produce them.
Just produce them. Okay. You're at a cafe.
Yep.
You go to the counter.
Yeah.
You say, I would like
a large flat white with almond milk and an extra shot.
Is that what you order?
Yep.
A large flat white with almond milk and an extra shot.
Yep.
So I
don't care how many shots are in it, I want one more.
Yeah. So whatever you got, just hit me with one more.
Yep.
So
wow.
Paraphrase, I would like a warm almond milkshake coffee flavored. Is that what... Amy, am I right?
You're speaking to a non-coffee
drinker. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Let's just have a look have a look at John's coffee order.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to put chisel on him.
Chisel.
Yes. Chisel. I got in trouble because I swore before.
Yeah.
Okay. Same coffee order.
So what you're saying, almond milk?
Yep.
But this one here is a...
I didn't want to get too picky.
Okay.
Yeah.
No worries. So you've tried almond milk.
Mm-hmm.
You've tried cow's milk.
Mm-hmm.
Have you tried soy milk?
Don't like it.
Don't like it?
Too
soy. Amy,
soy
milk?
Yep.
You'll do soy?
I'd rather almond though.
Okay. John?
Oh, I went shopping the other night.
Whoa, congratulations.
Yeah.
With a written list.
With a written list.
She's good with the list.
Yeah, I've got a list here.
And the, one of the lists on the list said almond milk.
Right.
And I thought, yeah, looked at almond milk.
Yeah.
$4.50 for a little container.
Yep.
Thought this one looks a bit cheaper. It's $2. Beauty. Mm. Let's grab that, Max. Max grabs it off the shelf, get home. Guess what? Soy milk.
Oh, that's all the same if it's not cow's milk.
Yeah. No, but it's not.
It's not the same.
No,
it's not
true.
Even close.
Okay, so picture this. The other day, as you know, I've got friends who own a coffee roaster, and I go up there and hang out, do some work up there.
And they do have good coffee, though.
They do.
Mm.
Glee.
Glee.
I don't think we were naming them.
We weren't naming them.
Deliberately left
Glee,
the name
yeah,
out.
Glee Coffee. They've got coffee. Anyway, so a friend there, Kim, who had recently had a baby, she and who's a barista as well, said, "Oh, hey, Glenn, do you want a coffee?" I'm like, "Yep, sweet." She goes, "What do you want?" I'm like, "Oh, whatever." She goes, like, "Breast milk, cow's milk. What do you want?" I'm like, "I'll try anything." Anyway, she made two coffees up. She steamed some of her breast milk.
I'm going to vomit. Stop it. Stop
and
it.
I tasted a breast milk.
Oh, Glenn, stop.
That is horrific.
So we all tasted a breast milk. latte.
And what did it taste like?
It's very sweet.
Oh.
Yeah, it almost tasted like...
Did you have any sugars?
No, it was sweet enough. I mean...
I feel like I could vomit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, let's all put... shizzle on me for almond milk.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, I've got to try it. So that's...
So is that on their menu or just for special meals?
No. I will say this does not represent Glee Coffee. It was...
This represents Glenn James.
Yeah. Hey, you're a guest here.
You get sacked. Okay.
They don't actually serve or endorse that. And the person who gave me the breast milk, it was a fun experiment. And it wasn't at one of their cafes.
Would you order it again?
No. And I only had one sip.
Mm-hmm.
Just to... And there was other people.
I can't get my head around that.
There was other people. No, it was...
It could have been off the teat. At least they put it into a cup.
Yeah,
we're not on
right.
The farm now, Pitch.
That's right. So, yeah. So that
makes it slightly less weird. Yeah.
Yeah. So...
Which is interesting because we've had a lot of coffee together over the last few weeks and you don't have milk.
No, sorry, I'm just finishing my sip. I have a long black.
No milk?
No.
No, that's my point.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right.
So what's your point? I don't have milk.
You don't have milk. So why breast milk?
Well, I just wanted to try it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm. So anyway.
I thought you were going to launch into the my pet peeve.
Well, that was your pet peeve, wasn't it? That you, when they ask you, like, what do you want to drink?
Mm.
And you're like, I want to... Tell me your pet peeve. What's your pet peeve?
Yeah, because you missed the important part is where they tell me how many shots is already in it and look at me like...
You're an idiot.
I'm an idiot.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't care if there's four in there. Put an extra one.
Turn it up.
Mm.
Yeah. Right.
It's a pet peeve.
Yeah. I tell you a pet peeve of mine. When you go to Boost Juice and you're in line and they're busy and you see a, the 14-year-old young girl or guy is making your Boost Juice... And they're just not paying attention. And
I don't,
why is everyone looking at me?
Because I don't go to Boost.
Yeah, no. Anyway. And then, like, you see them pour it and it's too cluggy and not runny enough.
You have seriously got too much time on your hands.
Yeah. And once.
That's the theme of the show.
Yes.
Yeah. And then once.
Glenn's spare time.
Because remember we went to that event and the head of Boost Juice was there.
Janine.
Ellis?
Yeah. Spelt A.
Yeah.
Ellis.
And she's like, yeah, we'll remake your Boost Juice if you're not happy with it. But I don't want to be that guy.
I think you are that guy.
You're
totally that guy.
Yeah, I'll correct you on that because you and I went for a coffee a few weeks back and you got water dripped in your coffee and you were that guy that said, I'm not actually paying for this. Tell me I'm wrong.
I'm pretty sure when I had lunch with him last week, you were going to send that plate back.
Where were we again?
Spring Street.
Oh.
Where you informed me that you weren't waiting for my meal to arrive before you start eating yours that
Okay, Amy, etiquette.
Yes. Yeah.
So Aaron and I are, and we will get to money thing. Actually, one of the marketing guys who was just talking with us before off the air, he was telling us about like, oh, so when you're marketing a podcast, like you've got to just get into it and talk about what people want.
Yeah.
And it's been like...
10 minutes already.
Yeah,
we haven't even mentioned money once.
And we haven't even talked about millennial money issues, but...
Yes.
But they're millennial issues all the same.
They are. Mm. That's true. So you're at a cafe with Aaron.
Yeah.
And you ordered a toasted chicken Caesar wrap, like I ordered, and it came out, and Aaron's food was nowhere in sight.
For like 20 minutes.
I'm like, well, I'm not waiting for you.
Mm.
Like, what would you do in that situation?
I'd wait.
Of course you would.
Do you know what? Do you know what I reckon actually would have happened?
No.
If you had have waited half a second, I would have said, don't wait.
That's right.
Yeah.
So if Ez had said to me, don't wait, your food will go cold, I would have eaten it. But I
but you wouldn't have... just... Yeah.
And I wouldn't say to her, I'm not waiting for
okay.
you. Well, unless
and then
she
me
had
about
somewhere that she had to be.
It was.
Okay. Well, the actual etiquette...
Which we disagree on. You'll be surprised to know, listeners.
Yeah. Is if it's hot, you don't have to wait.
Where did you get that from?
It's Wikipedia.
Like, no. John. Hey.
I'm positive the proper etiquette has to do with the number of people on the table. 8 or more or 10 or more.
I would actually think that...
Then you can stop.
The etiquette. And it was something to do with the royal family or the queens.
Which you know because you were at the wedding.
Basically. it's got to do with, if everyone's got a salad, hey, we'll all wait and eat together.
Yeah.
But why don't you walk, and this is not you, Amy.
Yeah.
But why don't you walk a mile in someone else's shoes before you, what's that saying?
Judge someone.
Yeah.
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 True.
Yeah. Walk a mile with my hot sandwich.
Yeah. My personal etiquette around that is depends who I'm eating with.
Right. So I didn't respect Aaron.
You got no respect.
If you're eating out, you should wait until all the members of your group have been served before picking up your fork, or in your case, your food.
Right. Mm. Okay.
So what if the restaurant has made a bad blunder and yours was never coming in the first place? So
yeah, well,
everyone
then,
else doesn't get to eat.
Yeah.
There'd have to be a bit of a grace period though, wouldn't it? You're not going to decide that her meal's not coming within
well, there was no 10 grace seconds of it arriving.
We are talking grace to a lawyer there. And there's no law. There's no grace in law.
True.
Black and white.
Eight or less.
Eight
told
or
ya.
Less. Okay.
There you go.
What's the reference?
Etiquetteforeveryday.com.
Really? Okay. Interesting.
When there's a small group present at your table, eight or less, it's proper etiquette to wait until everyone's served before you begin. This includes family dinners, eating out with friends.
Jeez. So I want to move into the important
Sorry, can thing. I just add?
Yeah, yeah, why not?
One exception
yes.
would be if one of your party members has to wait for his / her food and tells the rest of you who have already been served to please go ahead so your food doesn't get cold.
Right. So Amy.
Yes.
If you gave me permission to eat.
That would be fine.
That's fine. Okay. Yeah.
Did I though? I don't...
No, I think you didn't care. You were like, whatever. What do you do?
I think after you said, I'm not waiting for you.
Yeah.
Well, what else would I say?
Yeah. Yeah, imagine that. Oh, please wait.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
How funny. You guys finished? These husband and wife couple are like passing text messages to each other.
Just gazing into each other's eyes.
Lovingly.
We were talking earlier about like starting a family.
Yeah.
And John made the comment, I didn't really want kids until I met the love of my life.
Of course he did.
How funny is that?
He likes to score brownie points by saying things like that.
Really?
Nah.
Mm.
Anyway.
We all know it's true, though.
Here's a question from a not listener, because we don't have enough listeners yet, Amy.
Yes.
Have you listened, by the way?
No. She hasn't. She hasn't even listened. That's okay. That's fine. We're
honesty's where it's at.
Yeah, it's a grace-filled podcast. What kind of deposit would you guys recommend on a $250,000 first home loan in Victoria, Australia? I've started saving about $600 a week and would like some advice on how much would be an acceptable amount to save before the said person buys the house.
Hmm.
I mean, $250,000 first home loan. I mean, what is he buying? A caravan?
What is he buying?
No apologies to anyone who lives in a regional area.
Perhaps we sort in of Pidge's hometown.
Yeah,
yeah.
Pidge's hometown.
By the whole town.
Yeah.
We sort of covered this in our first podcast, I think.
Okay.
But,
Glenn should know that.
So do I.
It's called leading the witness. You do it all the time when you're in court. Your Honor.
But if you're, you try and get into the market as soon as possible in my mind. So in today's lending, that's 10% deposit. That's 25 grand plus costs.
Yeah.
First homeowner's grant is stamp duty exempt. So
is that in Victoria?
In Victoria, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Cool.
So that would mean...
What was that?
Oh, no, I could hear some phone ringing.
Yeah,
oh.
So there's 25K.
Yeah.
As quick as possible.
Yeah.
If you try and save, in my mind, 20% deposit, 50K, the market could have moved to 300 grand or 350. Mm. So get in as soon as possible.
Or 180. Could have gone down.
It could have. But either way.
I mean, you need a house to live in.
You're in the market.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Mm. So I generally tell people, like, before you even go and talk to a mortgage broker, and I would always recommend a mortgage broker. Don't go to a bank, because if you go down to a bank, you're only going to get the one option.
Mm.
try and have 10 grand. Oh, 10 grand. That helps. 10% saved before you even start the conversation with a mortgage broker. Because they are going, and actually next, in the next couple of episodes, we're actually interviewing a mortgage broker.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about anyone
who
wants.
Have you got one?
Yes.
Cool. Yeah.
We're going to talk about anything that, you know, millennials or first homeowners need to know about. Can you hear that aeroplane in the background?
Yeah.
It's because I left the front door unlocked and open. So professional here. So, yeah.
It's not the dog.
And so I think we need to ask Amy what she thinks about first homes and homes to live in versus rental properties or investment properties.
Well.
And don't look at
John. John, help me out, help me out.
Oh, Pidge and I have always probably slightly disagreed on this one because Pidge has always been the investor and I've always been the homemaker, I suppose.
Yeah,
the nester.
The nester.
But in saying that, we both owned investment properties when we met. So there was always that common
theme,
yeah. And the first property that I bought was never a property that I was going to live in forever. It was with my sister.
Right.
And we still own that now.
With your sister?
Hmm.
Interesting.
With my sister.
Where is it? Near where you live? Or
yeah, it's actually just here, just in McLaughlin Ave, not far.
Right.
So, yeah. I guess there was always that, you know, knowing that that investment was going to be good for me long term.
Yes.
But then over the last 10 years or so, if there was ever one that was pushing for the let's set down some roots, let's have a home to live in, let's not be constantly moving, that was always me.
Yes.
But in saying that, we wouldn't be able to have the home that we will have in the spot that we're in if it wasn't for the investing that we'd done in the first place. So there's definitely a... the investment is definitely...
Sorry, Aaron's laughing because John was touching the mic stand and I could hear it. And then I gave him the finger.
Smacking him.
Yeah. Big brother.
I think putting the investment first for us has definitely been beneficial in terms of our long term. But that, I think that that decision can, depending upon where you're choosing to live, is a really big
So if there. I could ask you a question for anyone listening who wants to get into the market and they may have a brother or a sister or a relative they want to buy with. Did you guys both wake up one morning and go, let's buy a house together as an investment property, or were you pushed by your parents or someone older to actually make an investment together just
No, my sister, it was my sister and I.
Yep.
So, yep. She...
How old were you, would you say, when you
I was 24.
Right.
Okay. And my sister still has the first cent that she ever earned.
Really?
She's a gem.
Saved all the money, bought her first car. You know, like my first car was... cheap old thing. You remember what it was like?
The white one.
The white one.
What was it?
The white car.
A Toyota Corona that I struggled to get to school every day. but my sister bought a brand new Toyota Yaris with cash. Like that's her.
Would you say your sister is a tight ass or just...
Let's make sure she listens to this. Hey?
Yeah. What's her name?
Anne.
So would you say Anne is just really good with her money? Or actually a tight ass?
No, she's good. She's good with her money.
Yeah.
She needs a bit of a shove to spend it sometimes.
Yeah, and so she's a saver by nature.
Yep.
And that's why I like having these discussions because I think if you're just a saver tight ass, you don't actually get to live.
No, she's not frivolous at all with her money, but she spends. Like they go on lots of holidays and they'll spend a heap of cash
Did
on holidays.
Did she marry a saver or a spender?
A saver. Oh.
Tight ass.
No.
He's probably a bit of both.
Yeah.
Like they're probably a pretty good mix. They're similar with their money. But so when her and I went to buy the house, she had all the cash and I probably had the interest and I had no money, even though I was at uni, had not long finished uni and so was poor. And I knew that she had cash. So I said, right, let's.
Because she's spent all your cash.
Well, true. I basically.
Ames buys the clothes and Anne wears them.
Yeah, that's it.
And did you guys, before you went in on that purchase, did you agree that if circumstances change, we need to give each other notice? Or were we just... So it was all pretty...
Yep.
These guys do have an amazing sibling relationship, though. Like, I couldn't do that with members of my family.
I don't think anything was written down, though. It was just
not
the relationship you had.
Oh, yeah, I need it, though.
No.
Yeah. Well, we have it now.
But you had the discussion
You're the lawyer. What would you recommend? Yeah, let's handshake on
knowing
this.
Knowing these two, though.
Yeah, yeah, like, true.
Knowing them and their relationship.
Like, going forward,
Oh, definitely.
Like, husbands could dirty, definitely. Dirty Once husbands you get those, could get in
the road. Yeah, wars. That's yeah. Right. It's always them.
Yeah, but we would never have been able to purchase that property if it wasn't for one another.
Yes.
And yeah.
Can you hear that bell?
Home ice cream.
Yeah. Home ice cream.
That's so good. I love the caramel logs.
They are good.
I don't know if I've ever bought from the home ice cream.
I did a bit of a rib a million years ago.
Mm. Yeah.
Just remember to close my front door before we record next time. Oh, that's really good because I didn't know that part and I knew there was a reason why.
We actually own a few properties, joint ventures.
Really?
So we own one with John's brother as well.
Do you want to go on with a JV one day?
And... Well, I was about to call you on this because traditionally you're off JV.
I'd traditionally be
off everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially things that I say.
No, no, I... I am very, because I did have a JV in business, and I think if you don't both go in with clear expectations of what you want out of it, and I will say I would only entertain a JV now because it's not going to be my first purchase, because my life financially is set up.
Doesn't depend on it.
That's right. So it's more, because in my philosophy of financial advice, you want to do the more complex things or investing later on.
Yeah, and I think in their case, it was a win-win for both. One had the cash, the other had the intent, and neither could get into it maybe on their own.
Yes.
So a client will come to us constantly and say, oh, I want to buy this with my brother or my friend or everything else. So it's like, well, what's each party bringing to the table? If you can do it on your own, why wouldn't you for... It just makes sense.
Otherwise, I mean, if there's one person in the partnership who doesn't bring anything to the table, they're not needed. So why are you in a partnership?
It will potentially become one of the only ways that younger people can enter the market.
Yeah.
That type of joint venture relationship with your, you know, your average income earners. But I think that managing expectation part that you said
totally
is so key.
So important.
And I mean, that's with any relationship, whether it's a investment or a business or a personal relationship. Managing.
That's right. And I think as time goes on and society wants things change faster, so I think we need to be more conscious now. Like we were talking in a previous episode about Afterpay is basically the current 12-month interest-free type scenario where, you know, 10 years ago it was the interest-free over 12 months. Now it's sooner over four payments or whatever it is. So I'm just concerned about the current generations, particularly younger millennials or Generation Z or Z, you know, born around 2000s, everything's more instant. So I'm just cautious that is somebody's personal circumstances going to change sooner because of their just the way they've been brought up. Well, that's really awesome. Did you have a Dolomite account when you were in school?
Yep.
And did your sister have more than you always?
Probably not.
No.
Probably not, because our parents would have been incredibly down the line and fair. You have a dollar this week and you have a dollar this week too.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, she's...
And are you still Commonwealth Bank customers?
Yeah, we're customers with a few banks. Yeah, but we do have a relationship with the Commonwealth. No, it's funny.
Because I want to talk, maybe I'll do it one other time, about the scandal that happened with Dolomites. Because what was happening is they... and our show's ending already? Now, but... what was happening, they would send stuff in, sign people up to Dolomite, and the tellers were putting the kickstarting in.
They didn't
in.
Put their money in. Yeah, their time frame
to get their bonuses.
So,
Well, then I read an interesting article about it the other day that Pidge and I were talking about how Commonwealth have that monopoly on that kids' market.
Mm.
And then when the kids turn 18, they get an automatic credit card sent to them.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
So, which I didn't know at the time. So anyone with a Dolomite account on their 18th birthday, the Commonwealth sends them a credit card. And what
That's
kind
insane.
Of, yeah. So what kind of financial future that's setting them up for? How are we teaching them?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming by, Amy.
You're
it's been awesome. And we'll see you guys soon.
Bye.
Thanks, babe.
Bye.
Any advice in this podcast is of a general nature only and has not been tailored to your personal circumstances. Please seek personal advice prior to acting on this information. Before making a decision to acquire a financial product, you should obtain and read the product disclosure statement relating to that product. Opinions constitute our judgment at the time of issue and are subject to change. Neither the licensee, any of the National Australia Group of Companies, nor their employees or directors give any warranty of accuracy, nor accept any responsibility for errors or omissions in this podcast. Glenn James, Urban Ghetto Proprietary Limited, trading as Sort Your Money Out, are authorised representatives of Apogee Financial Planning Limited, AFSL 230689.